Let's just look in our Bibles. John chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 14. If you'd like to just follow with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gave light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Heavenly Father, we pray that you, Holy Spirit, will break the bread of this word to us this evening. May we clearly hear from heaven. May a spirit of revelation be upon us, that our eyes might see, our ears might hear, and that we might in our hearts be changed, equipped, and prepared for the week and months that lie ahead. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, the simple message here is that God is light, all right? And that light is available to all the time. It is available to all. That light is available, and that light brings life. However, that light is not automatic. There's something we have to do, all right? And stated very simply, we have to draw the curtain aside and let the light shine in. Amen? That's a simple message. Allow the light of God to shine in. Amen? Just open up and allow the light in our lives and everywhere. Now, this message is not some great revelation. We know these things in a sense. What I believe God wants us to do is just grab the spirit of it. All right? I'm going to give a few illustrations and ideas, but at the end of the day, every one of us here needs to just grasp the spirit of it and apply it in our life. Amen? So very simply, what it is draw back the curtain and let the light of God shine into our lives in every area, and that brings life. Amen? God came to give us life. You'll see there, it's like God, the Father, was with the Son up in heaven, and God is light, and there's light there. And in a sense, they look down on the dark world. And I know this isn't really accurate, but just to get some idea, it's almost like God gave his Son a candle. Lit a candle and said, go down there and light everybody up. You see? And the Lord, as you read here, he went to every man, right, with the light, didn't he? He went to every man to give them life. He came to everyone to give them life. But some didn't receive it, you see. Those who did, what happened? They became the light as well, you see, and they became part of God and life. Amen. And that's the theme. Now, you see, I mean, I've got the study next door, and I draw the curtains at night, obviously. So when I go there in the morning, it's really dark and dingy, okay? And I've got my beloved bonsai plants on my desk there, and they like light, apparently. You see, they like light. I'm trying to keep them alive, learning how to nurture them. But anyway, it's quite funny. I go in there and Janet laughs because I say, good morning, boys. Morning, boys. And then I open up the curtains. And I know this is not really true. Maybe I'm getting old, but it's almost like I hear them saying, hallelujah. You see these three bonsai plants. Thank you, bird. But anyway, now, thank you, bird. Amen in bird. You know, I was singing the other day, and the bird started to sing with me. Can you believe it? It's probably that same pesky bird. Okay, but anyway. But now listen to this, please. There's a few principles involved here, all right, that we just got to grasp. Really, just grasp. And there's three sort of areas I'm going to talk about. It's not extensive, obviously, because you and I are going to just pick up the spirit of it. But imagine if I went into the study and I said to the boys, the light has come. Speaking about me, you see. Imagine I said to them, the light has come. What do you think they would say if they could speak? I can just imagine the one turn to the other and say, you know, of all the households we could have ended up in. John said, I'm not the light. Can you get it? I'm not the light. But in this process of getting light to where we want it, we have a responsibility. That's what I'm trying to get at. So number one, we're not the light. In a sense, we're not the light. He is the light. But we do have a responsibility. If I do not open the curtain, those bonsai will not be able to say hallelujah. You see? And what? Light brings life. Can you see that? So you see, we're not the light in a sense. We bring the light, but we are not the light. But we have a responsibility to open the curtain. Can you see that? It's just very simple principles here. We have a responsibility. If you don't open the curtain, there's no light. The other thing I need to mention is that, obviously during the day, the light is always available. Amen? The light is always available. Can you see that? Now, in certain areas of our lives, what we need to learn to do is to let the light shine in. Okay? Let the light shine in. Which means we have got a responsibility. God is always there ready to shine his light. Can you all say amen? In every situation, he's available. We've got to grasp that. Because everything's dark and cloudy doesn't mean God's not there. You look at Afghanistan now. Because, you know, things have gone pear-shaped for whatever reason. But doesn't mean God's gone away. You understand? He's still there. He's always there. He's everywhere. You get it? But we have to do things. Now, I'm just going to talk about three areas. Okay, let me put it this way. The key to letting light shine is waiting, there's listening, and there's forgiving. There are many others. I'm just focusing on these. What do I mean by waiting? Well, very simply, as you and I face issues in our lives, we have to make maybe a big decision or a difficulty or whatever. How do we let the light shine in? Well, God is already there. Amen? He knows the answer. He knows the issue and he knows the answer. What have we got to do? Wait. Can you see that? The way we let his light shine in is we step back, wait, and just try and understand what he wants us to do. Amen? What do we normally do as human beings? We just go in there and sort it out. I don't know if that's you, but it's me, definitely. You sort of think, oh, well, that's a problem. We go and sort it out. The more we try to sort it out, the worse it gets sometimes. I'm not saying we must be inactive. Amen? We've got to do something. I'm not saying that you must sit back and let God do it. No, no, that's stupidity. But on the other hand, what we need to do to let the light shine in is just wait. Amen? Before we rush into it, just wait. Can I give you a good example? Remember the Lord, they tried to capture him, they tried to trick him, and they put him in a real tight spot with that woman caught in adultery. You might remember the story in John. Now, here they've got him, you see. This gentle Jesus, loving and kind, is challenged with the law. Amen? As far as the law is concerned, the woman needs to be stoned. That's a horrible thing to happen. Oh, that's barbaric. It's really horrible. But that was God's law, to keep the nation fearful of breaking the rules. So that had to be the law. But you see, they wanted him to operate contrary to what was perceived as his nature. It's a very difficult situation. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You understand? I mean, if he says, no, don't stone her, you've broken the law, you see? And if he says, yes, stone her, oh, you're just one of us. Now, what did the Lord do? You see? What did the Lord do? Remember that when they came with the situation, they all got him onto a precipice almost of decision. He knelt down. He wrote in the sand. We don't really know what he wrote. There are a lot of theories. Some say he wrote the names of the people that were committing adultery with her, so it was right, you know. He might have been, for all we know, journaling and saying, what must I do? Can you help me now? What is the answer to this problem? Is there some way out? You see? Whatever he was doing, He gave God time to get the answer to him. You understand? And what did he come up with? Brilliance. Absolutely sheer brilliance. Okay, fine. She needs to be stoned, not disagreeing with the law. All right? So they could say, oh, well, now what? And then what did he do? He put the pressure on them. Oh, you holy Joes, the first one who hasn't sinned, let him cast the first stone. I can just see them all standing with their stones there, you know, and just immediately such heavy conviction must have come on all of them. Because none of us is without sin, you understand? And they're standing in the presence of the Holy One from heaven. And if he says, who of you, and there's glory radiating from him, who of you have not sinned? Uh-oh, let me just quietly drop my stone now and just sneak off. You see, nobody will notice. One by one. You get it? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? What wisdom, what genius. I mean, how to get out of a tight spot in three easy lessons, right in the sand. And it's so beautiful. There's this broken woman. Everybody's gone. And he said, where are your kids? I don't judge you. Go and don't sin anymore. Isn't that beautiful? But you see, what is the principle? You're facing a difficult situation at work, with your studies, with a relationship. Before we barge in, we had occasion here. We had a difficulty with a set of people. And I was in a quandary because they were saying bad things about us, which is not unusual, I don't think. But anyway, I don't mind normally. But the point is this, that they might have been affecting other people, and what they were saying was patently not true. They had misconstrued something completely. You understand? So in my heart of hearts, I really wanted to contact them, to get in touch and just sit down and set the record straight. I think that's a wise way to go about it, don't you? But for some reason, they just wouldn't do it. Tried to organize coffee. No, nothing. And so what did I do? I didn't write in the sand, but I did write in my book, a journal. I said, Lord, what must I do about this? And he just said to me, just leave it. He gave me those words. Amen. Now, you see, I could have said to myself, just leave it, but I'd be thinking, you know, I haven't been brave enough to confront people. You understand? But because he said it to me, I just left it, and the thing resolved. Amen. So that's the first one. I'm just encouraging us. How do we let the light into a situation? Don't rush and sort it out, or try and sort it out. Just give it a chance. Let God. You understand? The next one is listening. When I talk about listening, it's very similar in a way, but in relationship, I found something. We jump to conclusions, don't we, so quickly. And we assume people are thinking things that they are really not. Sometimes we judge. We jump to conclusions. Now, it's so important, you see, to let the light shine. If we give God an opportunity to just shine into the relationship, the sun will come out and everything becomes rosy. And it means not just listening to what people say, but to hear what's in their heart. Does that make sense? Just spend a bit of time getting into their shoes and just listening. It's amazing how things turn around. Just let that sun into the relationship. I'll give you an example. It happened to me, and this is quite, no, I can't say ironic. This is God. He has got a sense of humor. This message is turning around in my spirit, you see, preparing for Sunday, and I go to the spa to buy a few items. Park the car, I get out, and a voice, boss, asablief, and I heard, you know, the old, I knew exactly what it was, pop, and, you know, I'm hungry, and has anybody had this happen to them, you know, and it happens to me all the time, you see, sucker written on my head, or, you know, he's weak and he will give in. Anyway, so that's me. I get out of the car, and I wasn't in a good mood, to be honest. Now, I'm churning this whole business of letting the light shine. God has got a sense of humor, does he not? So I'm thinking to myself, why me? Why now? Oh, no, I'm just pretending that I didn't hear. Okay. Isn't that wonderful? What a loving, kind soul. Really loving and kind. A generous heart. Anyway, the Holy Spirit got hold of me between the car and the spa, which wasn't very far in this case. The car and the spa drives. And he said, you are preaching on let the sun shine, aren't you? God has ways. Anyway, I said, okay, Lord, I'll just see what I can do. I'll see what I can do. Left it at that. What happened is, got some pup and some gravy, you know. And the amazing thing is that what I had to get and all of that came to just almost exactly the amount of money I had on hand. So I thought that was a sign, okay? Not that I needed a sign, you understand? But, you know, I just satisfied myself with, you know, you were grumpy, but that was a sign, okay? So you're off the hook this time. Anyway, I went back to the car, put my stuff in, and I called this guy. Quite a weird character, actually. He got dreadlocks. I can't believe I got them like that. And he's got the most colorful sunglasses I've ever seen. So the rainbow hue. Now, here's my story, you see. You know, he was so grateful. He really, a smile broke out on his face. Because obviously he thought, there goes one of those. You understand? And then he discovered it's not one of those. Although it was one of those, but in between the spa and the car, one of those had changed into one of these, you see. Thanks to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, I was so glad to give him this food, and he was so genuinely grateful. Really was. He said, oh, thank you, God bless you. You know the story? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, etc., etc. And then I said, now this is my point. I said, what's your name? I can't remember his name. It was something like Mogadishu or something. But the moment I was interested in his name, what happened? The relationship broke out. You know what? The sun shone into that interchange. I said to him, you know, I'm amazed at your hair. That's fantastic. I really was. Not that I was planning to imitate it by any means. You understand? Quite awkward unless I get a wig, but I'm not doing that. Anyway, what I'm saying is I left from that interchange with a, how shall I say, a happy heart. Does that make sense? Why? Just because, thanks to the Holy Spirit, I had the good sense just to let the sun shine. Then see the light shine. With relationship, with people. Take an interest and listen to what, you see, what was that? I didn't listen to his whole story where he came from. I just, in my heart, picked up, because that's what the Holy Spirit said. The man's hungry. The man's hungry. He hasn't got access to the food that you have. Amen. So God was just putting in my heart, well, look, you know what? Spread it around. And did it cost me more than 20 rand? No. I feel ashamed. But anyway, are you hearing what I'm saying? In that interchange with a human being, simply because by God's grace, I let a bit of sunlight in, we parted friends. Amen? Amen. That's the way to live. Because I fed him didn't mean that I starved. Not at all. The last thing I wanted to speak about is forgiving. Forgiving. Let's just read a scripture. It's in Colossians. I just want to pick up something here. Colossians, if you can find it before me, you can preach next Sunday. I got it. Colossians, okay, chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. See that? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. Right, now, you see, this whole business of forgiveness, let me just say something. If you and I have been offended, which happens quite regularly, I'm sure, to all of us. If we pick up an offense and we hold a grudge against somebody, do you know what happens? It brings darkness into that relationship. Amen? It brings darkness into the relationship. And every time you think about that person, you sort of like bring them up from the dungeon and you just slap them around a bit, you know, until you're satisfied, and then you put them down again and you move on. We love to do that as humans. I don't know why, but that's how the cookie crumbles. But you see, if you and I have that in our hearts, it brings a cloud over the relationship. You see? And that cloud is death. That relationship will go nowhere. And you might say to yourself, well, there's another 8.4 billion people on the planet. So it doesn't matter if I don't see that one ever again. But you see, the truth of the matter is that if you're harboring that unforgiveness, and we all know this so well. So many times the Lord spoke about it. If we're harboring that unforgiveness in our heart, not only does it bring darkness on our relationship with that person, but it brings darkness in our relationship with the Lord. Did you know it? It does. It does. You see, it's very clear in the Bible. And we've had people that battle with this. But the truth of the matter is, if you and I are not prepared to forgive, it's a law. It's not God's will. It's a law. Because we are unable to forgive, He cannot forgive us. He just can't do it. And it's all in a sense because we break the cycle. We break the cycle. You see, it's like if you're pumping water, right? And somewhere between the water down there and the pump, there's a break. You can pump as much as you like. There's not going to flow any water. Am I right? It's all going to just dissipate. Now, you see, you and I, if we're harboring unforgiveness, and so many of us do, sad to say, I don't know why. Does anybody have an answer? Does it make you feel good? Alec doesn't know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, the angel Gabriel has never harbored one. Yes, yes, we see your halo. We see your light. You understand? We've all done it. Okay, but now, please, this is my point. What does God want you and I to do? Let the light in. You understand? How do we let the light in? Just forgive. I mean, just forgive. Just forgive. Now, I know why we don't forgive sometimes. Because, you see, in our system, it's buy, sell, and so they hurt me, so I'm just going to hurt them back. You understand? They've hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them back. Unforgiveness is the only poison that kills the person who administrates it. You know, that's amazing. But anyway, be that as it may. But you see, what does God want us to do? Let the light shine. You see? And it's amazing. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't forgive. Amen. They've hurt me so badly, I just can't forgive. And they almost get religious about it. I can't forgive. It would be totally unacceptable to forgive. Well, the truth of the matter is, please, this is a principle that we all need to grasp. God never asks you and I to do anything we can't do. Is that right? I mean, to get saved, you didn't have to do something you can't do. You didn't have to jump to the moon. Is that right? Do you think God would be reasonable if He expected you and I to do something that we can't do? No. However, please note, very often, as we've said many times, He asks us to do something we don't want to do. All right? And some people have been hurt so badly, or so they think, they don't want to forgive. They want that person to be punished for what they've done. Doesn't make sense, does it? Because you're not punishing them, you're just killing yourself. But listen, I've discovered a very easy formula to help me forgive people. And believe me, like everybody else, we've been hurt here and there. Amen. I don't want any sympathy, dear God. But, you see, something that's helped me and makes it so easy for me to forgive anybody. Really, no matter what they do. All I have to do is start to think about a few of the things that God has forgiven me for. You get it? I don't have to go far. There's quite a list, by the way. I know you wouldn't expect that from somebody who looks like a cherub. Yes, it's true, brother. You know, when I did amateur dramatics at school, they used to put makeup on all the kids, the little boys. When they got to me, they said, we don't have to put any red on your cheeks because your cheeks are so rosy. How's that? They thought they were complimenting me. Even when I got to university, I'm trying to be a hard case lawyer here, you see, and they all looked at my face and said, cherub. Anyway, but you see, the point is, being cherub is also human. And there are a few things that God has had to forgive me for. Amen. And the list hasn't finished yet. I'm working on it. But you see, here I am, and somebody may have done something terrible. Terrible. You know, they might have said, oh, you can't preach straight. I'm just joking. You're welcome to say that. But you see, I might have been hurt terribly. And what's the natural reaction? Don't want them in my church. Hallelujah. Don't want to see them ever again. Take that, you fiend. gets bad. But anyway, here I am with those thoughts, and then I stop and I think, you know, these things I've done in my life, and God looking down from heaven, he sees everything. Did he go, Graham, you fiend? No. When I looked at him, he looked down with love. Amen? And he forgave me. Why? Because I'm much more used to him forgiven than I am condemned. Does that make sense? I'm more used to him forgiven than I am living under condemnation. You understand? I've got to do something for him. And if I have no relationship, you see, if there's no sunlight between our relationship, if I'm thinking that God is condemning me all the time, amen? The sun is not shining in that relationship. And because there's no sunlight, there's no life. So how do you bring sunlight into the situation? You kneel before his throne and say, thank you for the blood of your son. I receive it. Amen. Thank you for your forgiveness. Amen. What are you doing right there? Opening the windows, right? And all the bonsai plants in your life can go, hallelujah. Amen. But now if I'm busy doing this, opening the windows and going, hallelujah, and I'm in my heart going, grrr, the gears are not going to work. You're trying to go forward in reverse. Do you understand? If you're going forward and you go into reverse, this is information for you as you're going to be a budding driver soon. Is this right, Rolf? Are you licensed?
No.
Okay, but anyway, just, I know your dad would have taught you this, but just for information, okay, just for information, if you are going forward, don't put the car into reverse. It could do serious damage. Amen? You could mess up the gearbox, basically. I did go from 5 to 2. It's also quite shocking. You know what happens? The rev counter goes. Huh?
And then there's this funny noise in the front that goes.
Okay, let's get over the dramatics. But listen, here I am enjoying God's forgiveness, you see. But in my heart, I'm going. Grrr. You understand? A funny noise will go, like you said, okay? You do serious damage. Doesn't work. All right. What is God saying? Now, when you, I've had this so many times. I mean, you want to, in a sense, punish the people, but you just do the right thing and you say, I forgive them. They can do it 100 times. Doesn't bother me. You're opening the window. The light shines, and guess what? When you see them, it's not like, you know, hello. Is it? No, it's not like you have to put on a facade. You can give them a good hug. When I see people that come to me and they can't look me in the face and they're sort of hovering around, you know, in the background, you know what I understand? In their hearts they're going, grrr. You get it? Does this all make sense? Amen? So, brothers and sisters, very simply stated, in our lives, if we want life, amen? If we want life, open the window and let the light shine. How you interpret that can vary. Maybe it's just going and having coffee with your wife on an occasion. What's that? Just changing the whole routine. Just bringing a bit of some light into the whole situation. Janet and I went for a lovely walk yesterday. We do walk, but we made an effort, hey, my darling, to go to the botanical gardens. And we went in there. And very dry, but it's a beautiful setting. And we just had a lovely walk. What is that about? Breaking the routine, you understand? Just doing something different, letting the light in. We can so easily get into a little rut. Amen? With our studies, with our relationships, with our work, with our houses, with everything. What is the Lord saying? With our relationship with God. Sometimes close the Bible and just praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen? Just praise Him. Just say, Lord, you and I are going to have a fact check. Let the sun in. Let the sun in. Let the sun into our lives and life will flow and we will be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God.